You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Hey, welcome to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, our afternoon conversation, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, of course, here on AM 950, your progressive voice in Minnesota. Hey, if you're in the car, roll those windows down and turn the radio up. Just go back to those old days of being a kid making noise down the street, because it's so, so nice out. Brett, I know you and I are both stuck in virtual basements here, but if you were to get outside, it's the kind of day you think about in Minnesota all winter long, and it's really great. So in that sense, it's a good Friday. In the religious sense, it's a good Friday. Happy Good Friday, everyone. It's the day that starts Passover for the people who follow the Jewish tradition and faith. They start at sundown tonight, so a lot of things going on. But today on the Repartee, it's Mueller time, baby. It's Mueller Report. We're going to have Richard Painter on, of course. We'll be talking about this with him. And I can't stop talking about it. Last night, Brett, I posted a couple of things when I was reading the report and watching some news coverage and reading some things on the internet. You know, I didn't get to this till late in the day. I had some things going on yesterday that I couldn't quite get to this. And by the time I got to it, I started posting, you know, multiple posts in a row, and someone who disagrees with me on impeaching Donald Trump, but I think generally cares about me, said, "Hey, man, I think you're losing your bearings here. You've go back and look at your posts," because I had done, I'd been screenshotting the Mueller report, so I'd get the page, and then I would copy the text, and then I would write a little editorial, and then I would paste the text, paste the picture, it was over a couple of hours, right? It's like when a guy eats a whole bag of Oreos and says, "Well, you know, it took me all afternoon. It's not like I ate them all in one sitting." That was sort of how it went yesterday. But he was trying to say, "Hey, I think you've lost your bearings." I don't think I have. I honestly think that this is the kind of thing that I care about. Brett, I think it's the kind of thing you care about. We know when Richard joins us, it's certainly the kind of thing that he cares about, but not everybody does. I get it so much. I mean, I've long been in the occupation, business, and industries, trying to help people care about things that they might not otherwise know is important and significant, and they might not care about something as much as I do. So you sort of work on their behalf, right? And that's how our whole society goes. Everybody does that. So many things that happen in our life, in our society, we don't even pay much attention to. We don't know how the roads are made. We don't really notice when, the food just shows up in a grocery store. But of course, there's people working on all that stuff all the time. Somebody's waking up early, making sure the truck got out, making sure things were loaded, making sure the scans were taken. There's just a lot of people who think about things that make our lives operate and run. And politics, I've come to realize, a lot of people, I would even go so far as to say most people, they don't care about it. It doesn't mean it's not important. It doesn't mean that without it, our society would struggle. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be calling one another and calling those who don't know or think much about it into times of focusing their attention. And this is one of those times. This is the kind of time when we need to, I think, as the politico class, right, as the group of people who are going to think a lot about politics and are going to think a lot about presidential politics, federal politics, and dare I say, the rule of law, you'd want to spend a little bit of time thinking about these things. And when you do, then I suggest that you share them. I know it can be draining to have your friends and family members be like eye rolling. It's Easter today and having a bunch of friends over, a family over tonight, and seeing a bunch of friends tomorrow, and then a big Easter gathering. And I know people are already looking forward, you know, when they see me, they're going to be like, "Oh boy, here he goes. He's going to start jabbering about it." And, you know, I'll be careful, right? There's a time, there's a place. I like to drop a little hint here and there, to get the conversation going, see if people are interested. But if you're one of those people, push this topic, because look, I've been saying this for months, and I'm going to say it again every day, I think, until November 3rd, 2020, which is election day, or until it sees its fruition. The Congress needs to impeach Donald Trump. Now, whether or not the Senate, whether or not the Republicans in the Senate will have the good sense, will have the common decency to vote to remove him from office, that's a separate question. The Mueller report is at its base level a set of provable facts that are designed for impeachment. This is what they're designed for. This is how they should function. This is what we should be doing with them. People should be reading it under that microscope, under that lens, thinking about it in those ways. What Mueller said in his really well put together report, I don't know if you've all had a chance to look at it yet. It's not overly complicated. It's a little long. I mean, I got to say, the things Donald Trump did, there were so many things between the conspiracy and the collusion allegations about Donald Trump that it just takes a long time to get through that. There were so many contacts with Russians. There were so many incidents that they had to look into that Robert Mueller chose to explain. All of that going on, it takes a while to get through it. For sure, but it's not overly complicated. Mueller writes, you know, in the report, this is the part that I thought was incredibly poignant. He writes that they did not, quote, draw ultimate conclusion about the president's conduct because of the inability to charge a sitting president. So what they said, and I've probably heard this in other news coverage, another commentator saying this, what they've said is, we as the prosecutors cannot formally bring a charge against the president, and therefore we're unwilling to say that we should charge the president, because if we say we should but we can't, that then puts the president in a bad situation, because the president can't defend himself, because then there's an allegation and no system of response. Well, that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be right. It's like immunity. I think that if people can think about how immunity works, if you're a diplomat from the United States and other countries, or a person, you know, if you're a diplomat from Canada and you're in the United States, you have a thing that is an agreement between nations called diplomatic immunity. There are things that you get to do as a diplomat that the rest of people visiting from Canada don't get to do, that other American citizens don't get to do. If you break the law as a diplomat, you're not going to be charged. It doesn't mean that what you've done was not a violation of the law. What it means is you would not be charged for violating the law. The president, in essence, has immunity while he's the president. Robert Mueller spells this out clearly over and over and over in the report, and then says, because of that, we will, quote, not draw ultimate conclusions about the president's conduct, because the conclusion we would draw would be he's violated the law and needs to be charged, but that would be unfair to him. And then he goes on and says, at the same time, if we had confidence after thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, we are unable to reach that judgment. When people say that Donald Trump did not obstruct justice, and the Mueller report says that, he says exactly the opposite. What he says is, we cannot say that he didn't, and we cannot charge him. That's the stuck place that the Mueller team found itself. So in light of that, they laid out the 10 particular incidents that they think Donald Trump obstructed justice. And then there's this really important part. There's this little footnote. It's called footnote C. You're going to hear that phrase a lot. It's going to come up. Honestly, drill it into your brain and just keep it for conversation. Footnote C. It's the one where Robert Mueller says, hey, look, a president can be impeached And a president can be charged for crimes that the president committed while president after the president is done being the president. There's no way, no reason, no rationale for Robert Mueller to say those things in a written report that he knows the public is going to read and was going to be sent to the attorney general if he didn't think that was a path that should be followed. He's laying out impeachment and prosecution after office. That's what's going on. So if a lot of people don't know this, even that amount of conversation, when their eyes would be rolling already, they'd be lost. They wouldn't care. It's just not interesting to them. It'd be the way I feel if somebody has sports radio on in the car. I just could not care any less about, you know, the bickering over the offensive coordinator dilemma. Well, some people feel that way about politics. I don't. I think it really matters. And so I want to champion on behalf of others. And I know Julie thinks about these things a lot. Hey, Julie from Minneapolis. How are you thinking about this?
Hi. I kind of have a bad phone, but I wanted to jump in. You know, I kind of think that Mueller didn't do his duty because, well, first of all, you can have a sealed indictment against a president, and so you can't go after them until after they're out of office. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's been presented to the public. I've heard many lawyers talk about that. And the other thing I want to jump in quick about, I can take my response off the air. I was very disappointed and disgusted by the head of the police union, Bob Coles, I think his name is. Uh-huh. He was ranting and raving about the progressives and the communists and the socialists that are leading our city of Minneapolis. And it just sounds like he's got so much anger against the residents of the city of Minneapolis. Mm. With this latest thing that our mayor does not want the police taking warrior, quote-unquote, warrior training. He sounds like he's been hired by Fox News instead of the Minneapolis residents, because he's going on and on about the communists and the progressives and the socialists. It's very disheartening. And so I just wanted to throw in those two things.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. Hey, I'll just make a comment. I didn't hear the comments that you're referring to of the police chief, so I won't comment on that. But I will say the part of the reason that Robert Mueller didn't do a sealed indictment against the president is that Mueller would have to have that indictment approved by Rod Rosenstein, and then ultimately by William Barr. And they believe you cannot indict a sitting president any which way, not in a sealed indictment or in an unsealed indictment. That's why they didn't. And Robert Mueller says that's not the remedy for a president committing a crime. The remedy is remove them from office and then deal with them as a private citizen. That's why impeachment is necessary. Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats have to tell the Republicans to fulfill their responsibility and to do their duty. It is Doug Padgett. We'll be back, I think, with Richard Painter here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and your Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org. seward.org. Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, anytime at all.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
Brett, I was thinking about what we would do for music today here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. You and I, Doug Padgett here in with Brett. And I was thinking, I didn't have a chance to put this together, but what song soundtracks would you put together on the day after the Mueller report?
Oh, I'd use the music we use for Richard Paint or the Bad Boys song or the yeah. The Chips nice. Police song. Yeah, there's some nice. Options out there.
What was that? So what was that old semisonic song? I think from the 90s.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
Every beginning is another beginning's end, or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. We could also do I Fought the Law and the Law Won.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hopefully, the law wins though.
Right yeah, now. I heard somebody.
I'm not sure if the law is winning.
Here's the thing. Fundamentally, Donald Trump's commitment is to protect the Constitution, to protect the laws of the United States of America. He is called to be the chief law officer. Brett, could you look this up for me? Could you look up what the oath of office is that the president takes? Because George Conway, you know, he's his wife spends a little time with Donald Trump working as a chief advisor. He has this great opinion piece out today, where he as a Republican, as a conservative, and as an anti-Trump Republican and conservative. Because remember, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be opposed to Republicans if you're a Democrat. There's a lot of reasons to be opposed to the ideas and the philosophies of conservatives if you're a progressive or a liberal or a lefty. All kinds of reasons. That's part of the fabric. That's part of the give and take. That's part of what makes us a general whole in this country. And there are lots of other opinions that make up the entire web. And that's all normal. Supporting Donald Trump is something else. Supporting Donald Trump is he cuts across. Look, he said it. A lot of people have said it. Barack Obama was the same way. Bill Clinton was the same way. These people were they were cutting across the demographics, and people were connected to them for a whole set of reasons beyond just their typical left and right conservative or Republican thing. So supporting Donald Trump and staying committed to him, when you hear about or read what are the direct actions of him in the Mueller report, it's hard to believe that someone could make the argument that based on what he has done, whether it was criminal or not, that it actually fulfilled his, as George Conway used the phrase in his editorial, his fiduciary responsibilities. Fiduciary responsibilities are these things that mean that you have an obligation to think about the ultimate good of that which you're caring for. Trustees have to do this. Financial advisors, sometimes they have a fiduciary responsibility, meaning they can't just sell you a stock because it makes them a lot of money. They're first and foremost have to be concerned about your well-being. Well, the president has a legal fiduciary responsibility to care for the laws of the country. Takes an oath about this. Brett, you have that text, do you?
I do have it, yes.
All right. Well, do your best sort of this is what the oath of office sounds like voice and read that for us.
I'm not going to do it in Trump's voice. I can't do a good Trump impression. But no,
do it. In, if you were the Supreme Court justice and you were the one holding the holding the Bible.
So the president is supposed to say, the president elect, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. And will be to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
To preserve, to perfect, protect, and to defend.
Yes.
That's what he's supposed to do. If anybody thinks that the President of the United States, as laid out in this report, showing what he's done, how he wanted people in his administration to do what they could to violate the law, going on so far as to say, I will pardon you if you get in trouble. If you believe that he is not fundamentally acting in a lawless way, not an illegal way, but law-free way. If you could read the Mueller report, and I swear to you, just read the second half. It's the longer half. It's not cut evenly in half because the obstruction takes, about two-thirds of the whole thing. But if you could look at, if you have time to look at and to see the behavior of the president that Robert Mueller said, look, this is the kind of thing that you describe as obstructing justice. The president of the United States not only has a very unique role in our society. On the one side, the president can't and maybe shouldn't be prosecuted for violating the law. That might be a good Department of Justice policy to not prosecute a sitting president. There might be reasons for that. That comes with the office. You're not going to be responsible for legal charges that are brought against you like every other citizen while you're in office because you have things to responsibilities to fulfill. But on the other side, you also carry with you the added weight to faithfully to the best of your ability, and this should be Donald Trump's out. This probably is to the best of his ability, but to the best of your ability to seek and to protect and to defend the laws of the country and the Constitution of the United States. And if you believe that Donald Trump's actions, as they're laid out in this report, it's incredible. There's a line of thinking going around that goes like this. Well, fortunately, all the guardrails, all the strong moral people that are in the Trump administration protected Donald Trump from actually obstructing justice, because they didn't follow his orders. He told people to do stuff, and over in the report, they say, you know, he told Lewandowski to do this. He told Christie to do this. He told McGahn to do this. He told Jeff Sessions to do this. And they wouldn't do it, and they didn't do it. So he's a bad leader. People don't follow him. He tells them to do things they don't want to do. But those acts in and of themselves are what Robert Mueller says. This is violating your oath. This is violating the law. We can't prosecute you, but the remedy for this is impeachment or pursue you after you're out of office. He says it repeatedly. So what Donald Trump, what Mueller says is that the people working for Donald Trump who didn't take the actions that he ordered them to take, it didn't mean that Donald Trump didn't violate didn't obstruct justice. It means those people didn't obstruct justice. Part of the reason that they didn't, the people who were given these demands, orders, suggestions, requests from Donald Trump, is that they didn't want to go to jail because they would actually go to jail. They don't have the immunity that goes with the presidency. But what the president doesn't have with his immunity is immunity from fulfilling his responsibilities. And this is what I think we need to ask every single congressman, woman, every congressman. Will you call the president to task for not fulfilling his responsibility to protect the laws of this country? Because he ran a roughshod over him for 2 years, and he's going to keep doing it. And I believe Congress needs to impeach. This is Doug Padgett on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be back after the break.
For the week, I'm Elizabeth Hora, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on some wonderful theatrical events in the area this weekend. Prime Productions opens their show, Marjorie Prime, this evening at Park Square Theater in St. Paul. Marjorie Prime was a 2015 Pulitzer Prize finalist in drama. It's the age of artificial intelligence. An 85-year-old Marjorie, a jumble of disparate, fading memories, has a handsome new companion who's programmed to feed the story of her life back to her. What would we remember and what would we forget if given the chance? This richly spare, wondrous new play explores the mysteries of human identity and the limits, if any, of what technology can replace. Go to www.parksquaretheater.org to learn more about Prime Productions' Marjorie Prime and to reserve your tickets today. Bollyprov is here to warm up your Saturday nights in March and April at 10:30 p.m. at Huge Theater in Minneapolis. Bollyprov is a Bollywood-inspired improv comedy troupe. They will be bringing a flavor of Bollywood movies to improv. Like any Bollywood movie, there will be unnecessary drama, cheesy romance, and a lot of laughter. Improv is a form of theater, often comedy, in which all of what is performed on stage is unscripted and created spontaneously by the performers. Bollyprov is a part of Bollywood Dance Scene, a 501c3 nonprofit that uses performing arts to build community and promote cultural diversity. Go to www.hugetheater.com to learn more about Bollyprov and to reserve your tickets today. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Total Dog Company has a great rewards program. It's called the Frequent Barker Card. You earn punches on the card based on the amount you spend, one punch for every $10. After you get 12 punches, you can redeem the card for $10 off a purchase. Everything we sell qualifies, so you get points and use points on things you really want. The Frequent Barker Program at Total Dog Company in New Hope, right off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North, and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Branding Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 42. Saturday sunny with a high near 73. Sunday mostly cloudy with a high near 69. And Monday cloudy with a high near 58.
Whatever April showers bring this year, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has you covered. Their triple savings sale offers $2,300 in savings on a new furnace and AC. Learn more about this great deal at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and AC, comfort you deserve.
Closing time, every new beginning comes from some other beginnings.
Nice call there, Brett. Every new beginning comes from other beginnings end. And if the end of the Mueller investigation was the report, that's just a brand new beginning. Is that supersonic? Who is that?
Sings semisonic, that? Yeah. Semi, closing time, yep.
Semi-supersonic.
Something supersonic? Like that. Yeah.
It's an old airplane model. Hey, Richard Painter. It's finally access to Mueller report day. So nice to have you aboard.
Well, absolutely. Great to talk on the show again here, but I'm telling you, we do not have the whole Mueller report. We've got a lot of it redacted, and behind those black lines, I am sure, is the stuff we really want to see, the stuff that is most damaging to Donald Trump and others in this administration. And I'm sure what they did is make sure that that goes into the material that's shown to the grand jury, so it gets put behind the black line, and we don't get to see it. Then there's other material that was classified and for national security reasons. The problem there is that the whole classification system is controlled by the President of the United States. So they overclassify. We've had that problem going back to the Vietnam War when they classified the Pentagon Papers, which basically explained how they were losing the war and lying about it. So bottom line is you may have very well have overclassification, and then second, a lot of material that they claim is grand jury material. It's all behind the black, double black lines that are very, that's what's behind that curtain. That's what we need to know. So Congress has subpoenaed the entire Mueller report, and the House Judiciary Committee Chairman, Mr. Representative Nadler, has issued that subpoena. That's the number one priority, that at least Congress gets to see the entire report. There are members of Congress who have security clearances, Democrats and Republicans, who can see the classified information, and the grand jury information can be released to the members of Congress with the permission of the judge who's presiding over the grand jury. That is the number one priority, and that's what we need to push for. This is not over. The Mueller report has not been released to Congress. Congress has a right to see it, and the stuff where that is critically important is behind those black lines.
Now, do you think, Richard, having looked at it, I don't know how much time you got to spend with it, do you think there's enough in the rest of the report to strike the level of damage? I believe it's damaging enough that Congress has to act and remove the president from office through impeachment. I think what I've read there is just he is not able to fulfill his duty to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America based on the way that he's behaved and has been documented in this report. And I think it's a clear pathway for impeachment. Without the access to the redacted pieces, do you think there's enough there, or do you think the key to any kind of action to remove the president is really hidden under the black, red, yellow, and green redactions?
The information we have already in the public available part of the report, section 2, on obstruction of justice, mm-hmm. is more than enough to impeach Donald Trump for obstruction of justice. Robert Mueller was not willing to reach a conclusion about whether he should be criminally prosecuted for obstruction of justice, but a large part of that calculation was the fact that Robert Mueller's boss, Attorney General William Barr, has taken the position, the Justice Department has taken the position, that the President of the United States cannot be charged for any crime while he is in office.
Yes.
And so the theory of this Justice Department is that Donald Trump could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue, as he once boasted he could, and not be prosecuted.
He'd have to be removed from office and then prosecuted.
He'd have to be removed first. So Robert Mueller did not reach a conclusion about a criminal charge for obstruction of justice, but this is far more evidence of obstruction of justice in a very serious matter. Far, far more evidence that exists in the William Clinton matter in 1998 when they impeached President Clinton over lying under oath, about a consensual affair with a White House intern.
Yeah.
This is a very serious matter. It involves Russian interference in our election.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
that's
yes,
the part that's,
impeachment
that's,
of the president is called for.
That's the part that's so disturbing to me. Hey, so I pulled up a running tally on the redactions, and from this report that I saw, this news report, there were 900 instances of 900 separate redactions, and that covered 1,600 lines in the report. 427 of those are colored in black. So of the 900, nearly half of them are redactions that are related to what they call harm to an ongoing matter. And that was 1,100 of the 1,600 lines. So in the report, Mueller lays out a whole lot of things that are still ongoing matters, and those are color-coded in black. And then the next highest level is grand jury, which was 353. And then the last two are, you know, there's 160 or so between investigative techniques and personal privacy, a fairly small number. But boy, I'll tell you, the stuff that the grand jury looked at that we can't yet see, and the biggest number of them, 427, having to do with ongoing matters, that also says to me, this is clearly not done because there's still ongoing matters. Do you think that the ongoing matters will, do you think in the term of Donald Trump's presidency. Do you think those ongoing matters are going to be resolved in time for us to know what's in those as the general public, not only getting permission to have these released to Congress, which is the argument I think that you're making, that a lot of people in Congress are making. Do you think we will ever get to see those, because there'll actually be cases that will be brought?
Well, there may very well be, and we do not know what's going to happen. We do need to remember there are a lot of career lawyers and prosecutors in the Southern District of New York and the District of Columbia who are not going to put up with shoving things under the rug. And I'm confident that Robert Mueller has made sure that a lot of career government lawyers, not political appointees or the U.S. attorneys, have seen some of that material, if not all of it.
Sure.
Robert Mueller knew what he was doing. So this is going to come out. And the bottom line is that the longer this drags on, the worse for the Trump administration. I don't know how this is going to play out. But the most important thing is that we all support the U.S. House Judiciary Committee subpoena. They have a right to see the entire report. Mm-hmm. Anyone with a security clearance should be able to read the classified information. Everyone else ought to be able to read everything else. It all needs to go to Congress, and that is the number one priority. And then, of course, we'll eventually get it out to the public. But the idea that we should have this much by way of redactions and it's kept secret to the United States Congress is awful. And nobody should be acting as if somehow this is over, as if the Mueller report has been disclosed, because Attorney General Barr has supervised this process of redacting and X-ing things out. And I am sure that a lot of the most damaging information for Donald Trump, for his family, for his campaign,
Behind the black lines. Right.
You got it.
I hope it's behind those black lines, which are the ones that relate to ongoing matters. I mean, I don't wish harm, but I still don't understand why Robert Mueller never did personal interviews with Eric Trump, Don Jr., Ivanka Trump, or Jared Kushner. They are all over this report, and I don't understand why he didn't ever sit with interviews with them. I understand why he didn't sit with an interview with the president, and even says in that little footnote C, the reason I didn't sit with him was it would have tied this up in litigation, and I didn't need to. I have the goods on him right now. I mean, that's his whole point. I've got the goods on him already is what Robert Mueller, I mean, he doesn't say got the goods on him because he's not a radio show guy, but he said, I think our evidence is sufficient to make the point. I don't need him to sit under oath to say these things. We could prove it by the evidence that we have. Why Don Jr. and Eric Trump and Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, that tells me, this could just be partly wishful thinking, that tells me that their names are under those black lines of ongoing matters.
Those names could very well be under those black lines. We do not know. I believe that Robert Mueller knew exactly what he was doing. And I was just on the BBC last night, and they put Sebastian Gorka up against me, and he was going on about how Robert Mueller was an awful, terrible guy. And I reminded him that Robert Mueller was a loyal American while Sebastian Gorka was at the White House wearing his father's Nazi medals. And then Gorka, of course, went ballistic. Robert Mueller...
I want to find that clip, Richard.
Yeah, important, is that everyone stay focused on supporting Chairman Nadler of the Judiciary Committee and getting access to that entire report. Because one of the things that the Make America Great people and Gorka and the rest of them are hoping for is that everyone's going to start dumping on Mueller from right, left, and center, and that then his credibility will be destroyed, and then the whole report goes down. This was a very, very carefully done project, and by professional prosecutors, and they were not all Democrats, as I explained to Gorka.
No, and it doesn't matter either. Look, I mean, the whole thing is, I don't care if somebody's a Democrat or a Republican. These people do their job. The idea that Donald Trump has polluted our entire judicial process by saying, what's your affiliation, or do you like me? Because that's what indicates how you're going to, what you're going to discover, what you're going to rule, and how you're going to follow the law. Donald Trump acts that way, but nobody else does. And I don't think we should get a stink all over us by saying that if someone's a Democrat, that they're going to be against Trump. And if someone's a Republican, they're going to be for him. These are people who should be, and I trust will. Because if that's what we're into, is that what's your political affiliation as to who you're going to prosecute and who you're not, then we already live in a banana republic, right? So who cares?
Yeah, I mean, Putin's going to take over if we live that way. And so,
that's right.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now, is they're trying to undermine the credibility of Robert Mueller. They're trying to undermine the credibility of what we see in the report. And they're trying to say it's all over. What's behind the black lines is irrelevant. Well, no, that's where a lot of the good stuff, or the bad stuff from their point of view, is likely to be. So it's very, very important that the United States House of Representatives see that entire report unredacted.
So here's what I think is going to happen, Richard. I think that some people in Congress are going to see what's behind those black lines. They're going to get access to it. And they are going to, that's going to turn up their willingness to move forward with impeachment by basically saying to the American people, you know a lot and you know how bad this is. We know more and we think we have to move forward with impeachment. I think that's what's going to bridge the gap between 60% of people in this country who think we should just move on, and the need for Congress to have more support in order, more public support in order to go forward with impeachment, is that they're, Nadler and Pelosi and Schiff, they're going to come out and say, look, what we know is behind those black lines, that's also going to be part of impeachment. And how they're going to navigate that, I'm not sure, but I think that could be their pathway forward. Do you have any, little speculation on that?
Yes. Now, I will emphasize that what we have already seen that's publicly disclosed on obstruction of justice is more than enough to justify impeachment of the president. It's probably more than we had on Nixon. It's far more than we than they had on Bill Clinton with respect to obstruction of justice in a critically important investigation. So just on what we have, I think there's a case to proceed with impeachment. And I would caution the Democrats that if they do not proceed to articles of impeachment in the House, they can't go on the campaign trail and say, well, there were high crimes and misdemeanors, because it's their responsibility.
I'm with you.
Under the Constitution. And they can't say this is political. When they say it's political, they're saying it falls in that gray area, and that's where Clinton really should have been. Clinton was in the gray area where, well, he was in his second term, so voters didn't have a chance to decide. But, the point is that the Clinton thing was sleazy, but it was not impeachable. He lied about an affair, about adultery. But, I think that this is a lot more serious than the Clinton matter. I think it justifies impeachment. They should vote on impeachment. And it shouldn't be a left-right versus thing. It should be a matter of what is the standard for the president of the United States? And obstructing an investigation of a foreign power's attack.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Can you imagine any of these Republicans, if this was a Democrat president who was accused of this, like they would be sitting back saying no collusion? It's outrageous. Hey, that's Richard Painter. We're going to be back here after a break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And this is a Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Good one, Brett.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hello,
humans, this is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's a talking head show with the theme of sparking change. I'll talk about something you'd not expect, the 1968 Miss America pageant, and how it spurred change in our country. We'll also revisit LeBron James' I Promise School in Akron, Ohio, which is making quite a difference in student lives. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the latest from the state capitol, including a bill banning cell phone use behind the wheel other than in hands-free mode, and a wrap-up of the NCAA Final Four in Minnesota. That and much, much more. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Awesome, Brett. That's great. It's making me all tense. I feel like I should be sitting on my couch with a bowl of cereal, ready to watch a crime be solved in an hour. Well, I'll tell you, Richard, I noticed when I was reading through the report, there's a little bit on page 170 and 171 that if someone's going to download the PDF and sort of flip to that section, it's a part where it's describing how the Trump team was interfering with the sanctions that the government of the United States was putting on Russia for interfering in the election. And they were actively in conversation. It details down to the minute who was speaking to the Russians and who was talking to people representing Putin and who was talking to the ambassador, and that they shouldn't have been doing any of this. And it even notes that Mike Flynn, who ends up having to plead guilty for lying to the FBI, what he was lying about was speaking to the Russian ambassador. And from the report, it reads, quote, Flynn told the office, the prosecutor office, that he did not document his discussions of sanctions because it could be perceived as getting in the way of the Obama administration's foreign policy. And earlier, a person named McFarlane, who was sort of the aide to Mike Flynn, said, this is quoted in the report, during the briefing, President-elect Trump asked McFarlane if the Russians did it, quote, meaning the intrusions intended to influence the presidential election. McFarlane said yes, and President-elect Trump expressed doubt that it was the Russians. That's from page 1,253 and 54. So while many of us are rightly worried about the obstruction of justice, back to the issue at hand, which is that the Russians interfered in the election. Donald Trump didn't believe that they did or didn't want them to take credit for it, and then actively worked with Mike Flynn and McFarlane to promise the Russians that they wouldn't be sanctioned, that they would lift those sanctions. How is it possible that everyone's not pulling their hair out saying Donald Trump pulled back the very sanctions that the Obama administration, as the legal government of the United States, had put on Russia for interfering in our elections? I'm a little dismayed that all of us aren't screaming more about not only the fact that the Russians interfered, but that the Trump campaign was so in bed with them that they were using private phone calls to be chatting with them and saying, don't worry, we're going to make sure you don't pay any kind of a price for this.
Yes, this is the typical relationship you find between powerful politicians, including presidents, and campaign contributors. Of course, campaign contributors are supposed to be American nationals.
That's great.
It's a sort of dance around, you know, campaign contributors want this, they contribute that, and then you say, we'll give you this, and so long as there's no express quid pro quo, you don't have a bribe. And that's been going on for years, and thanks to the Citizens United case, a lot more than it used to be. But what we've got here is a foreign power that response of something, release of the sanctions and the ability to go into the Ukraine basically and do anything they want in return for interfering with the election. And we know that there is a sort of an implicit quid pro quo here, but not right. enough to, of course, allow prosecution under the bribery statute, just as we have with the U.S. Campaign contributors. So that's sure. going on. And we know what the deal was, is that the Russians wanted Trump in, because Trump would then back off on the sanctions that were imposed with respect to Ukraine, and now, of course, the additional sanctions imposed because of the interference with the Russian, with the election. And everyone
it's unbelievable.
Knows that's
like,
going on. That's the relationship. It's like the relationship, yes, that powerful politicians used to have with Wall Street or with oil companies, but at least Wall Street and oil companies are, you know, predominantly Americans, whereas now we've got the Russians. Right. On the other side of the equation.
Yeah, that's the thing that people...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the legal problem is there's something called the Logan Act that says uh-huh. that that so long as President Obama is president, other people are not supposed to be negotiating with any right. foreign power right. about United States foreign policy. Now, the Logan Act has been rarely enforced, and there may be some constitutional questions about it, but... the idea of the Logan Act is you got one president, one secretary of state, and then you have a change of the guard. And
right.
then for example, President Obama would be violating the Logan Act right now. He called up the Russians, started negotiating with the Russians. We just don't do that. We got one president at a time.
Well, we didn't in December of on December 31st of 2016. We didn't just have one, because Mike Flynn even says, I was in these conversations. This is what I was negotiating. I was making these promises on behalf of the incoming administration.
Yeah, and he was violating the Logan Act.
And I did not. He says, I did not document those because I didn't want people to know we were doing it. Like, these people have been lawless. They have been lawless.
It was illegal under the Logan Act.
It's unbelievable.
We went through this with Nixon. Did some of this back in 68, when he was back in the North Vietnamese, and say, hey, hold up on making a deal with LBJ until I win the election against Humphrey.
Sure.
So
yeah.
We've had some of it before. But bottom line is that if Flynn knew what he was doing, he wasn't supposed to do. The Logan Act, there's some constitutional questions about it. But then the key is that Flynn lied about it. And once you lie about something, you commit an additional crime under 18 United States Code 1001, the false statement statute.
Yeah.
And that's what gets Flynn into the hot seat and with a criminal conviction, is lying about it. But we all know what's going on between the Trump team and the Russians. I mean, this was definitely a quid pro quo.
And that's what's amazing. Like, look, I think governments interfere in other governments and other countries' elections all the time. Look, the United States does it. We interfere in people's elections. Yeah. Like, we're messaging and we're dropping flyers and moving around. This is a thing people do. The thing that's different about the Trump administration is you've never had a presidential candidate that said yes to that kind of interference. Like, the protection we need in this country is not just to change our laws, it's that candidates need to follow the laws that exist when it comes to our campaigns. It's really unbelievable. Well, that's Richard Painter. I'm Doug Padgett. We're going to get those black lines lifted, Richard, and we're going to see what's behind the veil. And when we do, we'll talk about it here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.